what happens when three buffoons give life advice, explore unrealistic situations, and give random topics more thought than they probably deserve? It's the Spitballers Podcast with Andy, Mike, and Jason.
I liked it.
A little something new, a little something spicy.
Just a little wah guitar, my friends.
No, that's good. You need some variation on these scats sometimes, and you didn't really falter at any point. You didn't lose your confidence. It was the ending was a little newish.
Well, so what instrument should I do next episode?
I don't know, but here's what I wanted to share with
tuba.
Please don't get me started on the tuba players again. For the listeners at home, that was not a real wah guitar.
Oh my gosh.
Was
that you?
That was actually my voice.
Wow. I didn't think about how clearly misleading that was because I was watching you.
Yes.
Like I knew.
My eyes were closed and I thought you pulled something out.
That makes sense.
Exactly. A wah guitar.
A wah guitar is what you.
Oh, we're off to a good start.
All right.
Would you rather Jason explains what's the difference on the show today? We're drafting the best home inventions. Over the last 30 years.
I'll put the wah guitar away.
Please do. At Spitballers Pod on Twitter, Instagram.com/Spitballers.
Spitballers?
Spitballers. Yeah, no, Spitballers Pod on Instagram. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for telling your friends about the show. If you want them to enjoy themselves, this is one of the ways to make sure of it. Let them know about our podcast.
A lot of people don't even know how to make friends anymore. They're like,
it's true. It's very difficult.
This is how people have shared experiences around the Spitballers.
You hit the water cooler and you say, hey, did you catch the latest Spitballers?
Right.
And they will probably say, of course.
They'll say, is that the one with the wah guitar?
Well, no, they haven't heard this one yet.
Oh, that's true.
But they'll say, of course, or they will say, no, please tell me more. Because that sounds hilarious.
That's a good point, Mike. Are we done promoting the show?
Yep.
Al?
On to the actual show.
All right. Would you rather time?
Would you rather?
Are you War and Peace on your watch right now?
Jason just looks so weird. Jason's got an Apple Watch.
Yeah.
And he was reading a text. But
he's not getting away with that.
It was like for 3 minutes. What,
yeah.
What
it better be
doing?
The longest.
It was just a very long tweet.
We're in the middle of a show.
Well, yeah,
it was
there
a
was
tweet?
Music playing. It was about, you guys want me to talk about Marcus Hollywood Brown?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
I figured you were reading another chapter in Harry Potter over there or something.
Look, I'm a slow reader. Okay, it was like 15 words.
All right, would you rather, number one here, if you could temporarily be transported to the future, would you rather spend 1 year in 2200?
Ooh, okay.
Or 1 year in the, okay, sorry, 1 year in the year 2200 or 1 month in the year 3200?
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you go to the future for a year?
And I'm going by myself.
Sure.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Congratulations.
So you got 1 year in the year 2200, which is
and I
almost,
have to come back.
Almost 80 years from now.
Unless you die there.
Oh.
What? Right?
Right. I mean, I guess.
Oh, man.
I mean, you'd technically be.
Now you're opening up
you're
a whole.
Or 1 month.
Situation.
100 or 1,000 years later than that. So that's a massive amount of. Like, there's going to be a tremendous amount of technological advancement between now and 2200. That's 78 years away.
And not enough.
But you're talking a lot more than that in 3200. But
right.
It's only a month. I mean, you do get to spend a year there. Which one are you taking?
Now, are we saying that I can... We're ruling out showing up in 3200 and it's just scorched.
Correct.
Like there,
this
you,
is not
you
the
get there and you're,
nuclear wasteland that you have to spend a month in.
There's nothing there and it was just a trap.
This is the human civilization thrives in the future.
Okay.
Do you want to go 80 years
in the
future where
future.
You can... Where, sure. You can go 80 years into the future and have a year or 180 years in the future and you get a month. And for the sake of the spirit of this question, you're not losing any time at home. You just...
Okay,
you know
it's
what
like,
I mean? You're,
blink-
you're not losing a year
yeah,
for your
fair.
Family. This is about, would you rather see the distant future for a short period of time or the not-so-distant future?
But is it, though? Because exponential, right? Like, think about this. How different was the world in 1990?
Very different.
30 years ago. Completely different universe.
Dial-up internet.
Yeah. I'm not even.
No internet.
Internet in 1990. So you're, unless you were like, you know, you worked at Honeywell or something, I don't know. But 30 years, a lot has happened. So I guess the question for me is, do I want to spend a whole year? Is there a year's worth of things to discover 80 years into the future?
Well, I don't know that there would be a, like, time-wise, spending your time to fill a year seems impossible. Like, to
but there's got
to
be cool stuff you'd want to hang out and do.
Yeah, but that's almost too much time.
You got 78 years of movies that have been released, Jason. Do you know how much time you need to fill?
I could watch a lot of movies, but I think that they would probably
be... You guys still got Netflix?
...really bad to me. Because, you know, sensibilities change. Who knows?
You know, what's funny?
What's funny? What's not? I won't understand any movies. Just, I will be the ultimate old curmudgeon. Like, usually an old person's like 80 years old or whatever. I would be, you know, 240 years old.
I don't get it.
Well, that's not funny.
That's not going to be more helpful in the year 3200.
Which and is then, why I only want a month.
And then he said, tangerine, the room erupts in laughter.
Yes.
What?
3200 is where I'm going. I mean, the shorter amount of time, but the more discovery.
For sure, because my hope when I get there is one technology. There's one piece of technology that I hope exists when I arrive. And I don't think it will exist 80 years from now. I do, and I know that this is
You're going to reveal
crazy.
This technology?
Yes, but I do think this will exist 180 years from now. And I think this will be what changes the future. And that will be teleportation.
Okay.
It's never happening.
It will happen.
It will never happen.
Quantum entanglement. It's going to happen, people, but not in our lifetime.
Sure. Just like the old hoverboards. We got all the way there.
My thought process was a little bit different. Like the time in the future wasn't a huge part of my decision. It's like, but if you go to 2200, right, there is a chance that we can see that. At our, like, I was like, if medical, if things advance, there is a slight chance.
We make it to our 120s.
Yes, there is a slight chance that that can happen. Now, I mean, people at 120, who knows if we're ever medically advanced enough that you're not just sitting in a chair wishing for the sweet relief of death.
Oh, we'll be half robot.
Now, you do know that we'd be 216 years old.
Oh, I was thinking of 2100. Yeah. Well, Jason was there too.
Right there.
Trust me, I put in 2200 minus 1984 three times before I realized that mistake.
So take the slight chance and just reduce it by 90%.
Right.
And so
there's still,
there's, you know, who knows? We could be in the machine
by
then.
Our kids might see it.
How is this math work?
You can't handle it.
I can't handle it because we're saying it's 80 years from now. And 80 years from now.
That's what my brain was doing.
But it's not. It's 180.
Okay, so we were just wrong with that.
Well, you thought the first is right and the second one's wrong?
No, I just knew.
The math is all the same.
They couldn't possibly.
So we've been saying 80 years this whole time?
Yes.
Idiots?
That 2200 is 80 years from now.
I blame you.
It's not, though. It's 180.
Okay, so.
Because 2100 is 80 years
okay,
from
so
now.
We're not making it to either one of these. My argument was going to be.
Son of a gun,
wait,
he's
you
right.
Well, you think.
No, he's right. I just thought it was 2122 right now. I had to write it down on the board to make sure that 2022 looked right. Son of a gun. I just lost 100 years.
You just said that 180 years from now, teleportation would exist.
Oh, maybe.
So you just got your 100 years.
Oh, man.
You're going to be sad. Just give it another 1,000 years.
What year is this?
So my argument was going to be if you could make it there slightly and not really be able to take advantage of the things, but know what's coming.
Sure.
I think that would feel bad. So I want to go into 3200 where I have absolutely no chance of making it there with my current body.
Yeah. Look, in 3200, maybe it's not apocalyptic. We take that out. Like the world's not just singed Earth.
Yes.
But it could still be bad. It could still be like one of those the movies with the, like, you know, pretty dilapidated, horrible society.
Things have gone wrong. Or maybe we are just now the robots to the robots.
Yeah.
You know, we are their
robots?
We are their servants.
So you go get to be, you end up being a robot slave?
Yes,
for a robot for a month.
Slave. So you don't want a year. So I mean, that's really why you got to go 3,200 is to make sure you don't have a year.
Now
of servitude.
You know the year 3,200 is over 1 million years from now.
Yes.
Would
math
robots,
checks out.
Would robots really want human slaves?
No.
Only
would...
when they evolve enough to become lazy, which would happen.
Is that an evolution?
That's an evolution.
That is the next step. Like in the that's an advancement.
100%. They would because what would happen? Genuinely, what would happen with AI is they would continue making their technology and their hardware and software better and better and better until they can basically have a human brain, which would then start the whole cycle over.
That's a weakness of our brains.
Time will tell. Go to 3,200. I'm pretty sure I'm right here.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Would you rather not shower for a week or five times a day?
Oh, that's easy. Mm.
For a week. So
I mean, yeah, that's easy.
It is easy?
Yeah.
It's five a day?
It's five a day.
Yeah. Has to be five a day.
I think that would become very burdensome. Now,
absolutely. But being a stink bomb for...
Now, I want this to be applied to... This is just the rest of your life. This is not just a week. This is the rest of your life. You're either doing it once a week or five times a day.
How much time has to be in
five
between
minutes.
Showers?
Oh, between them?
Yeah, that's a good question.
No, I mean, Al can rule on this, but there's got to be, what, like an hour?
Yeah. An hour? Okay.
I think it's less about time and more about what you do. You have to have an activity. Like if I went and rode a Peloton for 30 minutes and got sweaty, that would count as, okay, now I'm going to go shower.
Because you could shower when you wake up, go exercise, shower. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's two, knocked out of the park.
Okay.
Right.
Now
you got to get three more in.
You'd have to find a way to have a lunchtime shower. Like, this is a deal breaker, depending on where you work. Like, if you don't have a shower at work,
you could always probably use a shower after you laugh a little bit.
Oh, man, I could take a good shower now. Well, this is part of why I want the five showers a week. I love showers. That's one of my favorite times of the day. Is
five
just...
times a day. Not only, you forget, there's going to be hygienic implications to the over-showering side. Dry skin.
Well, I mean, you can... It's just saying shower. I don't think you have to do like a full scrub, full shampoo.
You got to wash yourself, Mike.
Do you have to exfoliate every time?
No.
My skin is bleeding.
Because I've had period, like in the summer in Arizona, it is not uncommon at all to have two showers in a day.
It's not uncommon, but five's a lot every day of your life, and you're losing time. I mean, let's just pretend, not only are you losing time in the time you're showering, because I know, Mike, you can get through it quick.
Yes.
But you are now having to accommodate showers.
Yeah.
You go on vacation, guess what? You got to shower five times.
Ooh.
You know what? You go to work, you got to shower five times. You come home, you got the burden. Now, the alternative is
untenable. Because you
can spritz yourself with some, like, Febreze or something.
No.
There is.
No, you cannot.
There is. I don't know what day it would be. Day four... Or day five.
It'd be day three.
Maybe day three. But at some point in that week, you would turn a corner where you can't cover it anymore. And so maybe you could survive this system by picking the day of the week that you shower and your social events. And you know what I mean? Like, hey, I've got a really good, you know, I shower every Friday. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we have fun on the weekends. And then I try to avoid people through the work week. You might be able to get away with that.
I mean, not showering is the key to your antisocial dreams, Mike.
Yeah, but you would feel gross.
Would you?
Yes.
Yeah.
If a tree smells in the woods...
and no one's around to smell it?
And no one's around to smell it? Isn't there some...
Yeah, that tree
it's a
still,
famous thing.
That tree still feels
bad about
its hygiene.
Yeah, it does.
Now, here's a somewhat of a tangent off of this, but do you... Like, if you were to get rid of all the hair on your body, will you smell less?
Yes.
I think so.
100%.
So, like, you shave all your armpit hair.
If you trim your armpit hair, which I do from time to time, so it's not just a giant
I do it on the
ridge, ball,
sure.
It will smell.
Wait a minute. You got two, like, afros under the arm?
I mean, if I let it go, it's
well, like,
poops.
Like when you have...
Like clown wigs?
Like if you have the length where your arms are down and it's still peeking out the front.
Yeah. I trim to prevent that.
That's not a good look.
No, and that holds that hair holds on that hair holds on to smell. And so, yeah, you're going to stink more with hair. Because things can hold on to smell. I mean, that's
are,
it.
They're very strong when it comes to odor molecules.
Would you rather question coming in from Barry on Patreon? Would you rather walk on ice or on hot cement with bare feet?
Has anyone ever walked on ice?
I'm sure yeah, I mean, I've...
No, I'm asking you to. Not in the human existence.
Because someone has to have done this.
Probably. We, you know what? Like the Ice Age. Right. It might have happened.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
So the closest I can get to that, I've never taken off my shoes and socks and then walked on ice. Like at a, because the only place I would be able to do that is like an ice rink in Arizona, right?
Right.
But I have many times gone up and played in the snow with inappropriate gear, therefore getting water, snow, ice into my shoes.
Okay.
So I've done that before, and it is extremely unpleasant to have cold feet.
There is a big difference between being completely unpleasant and ruining your body.
Yes.
One of these things.
I don't know which one you're saying.
I think they both ruin your body.
Yeah. I mean, one is frostbite.
No, I don't think you're going to get frostbite from. I mean, if you're saying I got to stand on the ice for 4 hours, yeah, I'm going to get frostbite. But if I'm just walking, that was a hard word to say. If I'm just walking, you know, along ice, it's going to be cold. It's going to be uncomfortable, but it's not going to literally physically destroy.
It certainly would eventually.
Eventually.
Yeah.
But when it's hot.
So it's about, is it about the distance you have to travel?
Sure, maybe. I mean, I could tell you this, in human history, the three of us have walked bare feet
yes.
on too hot of a surface because we live in Arizona. And sometimes you need, you know, you're going to the pool. Well, you're not wearing shoes.
Uh-huh.
You just go walk to the pool. And all of a sudden, you're trying to make it to the pool before your skin stays on the ground while your foot leaves the ground because the
foot could stay on the ground in the snow and the ice eventually, like at the distance. Like you can burn your feet, but you keep your feet. But if your feet get too cold, you could lose them.
Yeah.
Frostbite, you lose your toes.
But this is just saying, would you rather walk on ice or hot cement with bare
right,
feet?
Right, that's fair.
And that's,
yeah.
I mean, in general, one of these things, when it's over,
yeah.
when it's over, I'm going to throw some socks up, maybe put my feet up by the fire, and
okay.
I'll feel fine. But when my feet are burned, it's like burning your mouth. You eat a
it's
slice
like burning
of,
your feet.
I'm just saying we can all, like, maybe you listening haven't burned your feet because you don't live in Arizona, but you've eaten a slice of pizza that's too hot. It ruins the rest of your day because the roof of your mouth is now burned. That's what's going to happen to your feet.
Can you move at a – is there a speed you can move at that's fast enough to really get by on the flaming hot pavement?
That is a great question. The answer to that is no for the pavement. But
I mean, people walk on hot coals with a certain level of speed.
That's because there's like the ashes on the coals, and it's a parlor trick.
But I mean, I've gone to get the mail in the heat, and there's a certain you got to get into the flow, man. You got to get
yeah,
a little
I know.
Cadence.
No,
to
I know.
The
you get the
sides of each
and you
feet
roll on
back
the
and forth,
the outside,
back and forth,
and you're looking for any sliver of a shadow.
Yes,
if there is
yes,
a
yeah.
If there's a little fence, you're walking in the little
oh,
shadow
you bet
line.
You are, yeah.
But like, you can't.
Okay.
But the question was for ice. Because I've never done it. Is there if you go fast enough on ice, which then you could fall.
You're going to fall. I've seen people walk very slowly on ice, and they
still
fall.
You go fast enough with your penguin walk where you're leaning over your feet.
Okay.
Can you do that and not
have
them freeze
burn? I
think
basically if you walk on ice for a short period of time, it's really almost no implications. Whereas if you walk on a really, really hot surface with your feet, you're burning them. Even if you don't feel like you're burning them, sometimes you've burnt them and you don't know. And you come back and you go, why do my feet hurt so bad like the next day? And it's because they're peeling.
I think to even this out, because walking on ice, not going to destroy you. Walking on something too hot, absolutely destroy you.
Oh, are we doing like a 100-meter dash versus a mile or
no,
something?
No, I'm saying that let's say that both of these are just 100 yards, you know, a football field. But one of them is the slippery ice you've seen videos of. You know, it's like it's wet ice? Because I have not experienced this, but have you seen the videos where I know you're laughing at wet ice, but
all ice is slippery.
No, it's also not, all wet.
No. Hold on.
Not all ice is wet.
No, it can be frozen.
Yeah,
solid.
If you can put water on ice and all, yes, you've got a real bad
look,
situation.
If you get it too non-wet, you will stick to it.
Yes, that's also true.
And rip your skin off, just like the hot.
But I have never experienced what I see in videos,
not real,
where people get in the perpetual slip state where they start to slide and then they're running their feet and they're just, it's like a cartoon in real,
yeah,
life. And they are sliding in place until you know they're going to end on their face or their butt. Those are the only two options. They're going to fall.
So we're all going with ice.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all going with ice, but...
Now, being super cold is very painful. If I told you it was like I got to walk a mile on ice versus go 100 meters?
I'm taking ice, okay, no matter what.
Okay. Well, you like being cold.
Yeah.
You might be able to, if you're like running on the cement, but then you're running on cement, which even when it's a fine temperature, running on cement is very
painful.
That should
be an Olympic event. Who can go the furthest on boiling hot cement?
It would look like the power walking, which is so stupid looking.
Just blood and flesh everywhere. All right. One more? Do we got time for one more, Al?
We sure do.
Would you rather listen to a boring story or tell a story that everyone thought was boring?
Oh, man.
Have you ever been so pot committed to a boring story that you're telling that in your mind you knew it was funny, but either you've told it wrong or you've just... The delivery, the,
yeah,
contents is too,
yeah,
inside,
absolutely,
of a joke. But you're so far into it that you do feel like you need to finish. Like, you can't. There's no, like, social cue for, I'm out.
Oh,
like,
no.
I'm
no,
just,
there is. There is, yeah. You get to the point, you go, you just had to be there.
That's
universal that everyone knows. The storyteller is admitting that story sucked,
but
was really funny if you happened to be there.
But you don't want to go with the, like, never mind. Yeah.
Just quit on
just
this trailer. That's the only way to get their attention when you're in the middle of a boring story, because they assume something good was going to,
yeah,
come,
right?
There was a point to this story. So that's your, you got
someone
to just,
at the door.
Yeah. No, I've definitely been there where I've, and it's not even like a funny story that I know was funny if you were there always. It's just like, I'm saying something, talking about a topic and realizing this, like, I should,
this is not,
why
a
did
story.
I speak? Why did
my wife, and this is not an insult to her because she will readily admit this, is the queen of the boring story.
Like, she tells them?
Oh, yeah. And she will stop halfway through knowing and, like, admitting out loud, though, this story is boring,
oh my
but
gosh,
I'm going to finish it anyways, and I must endure. And one of, so, what's the right word I'm looking for? What are the hard parts?
Marmalade.
Marmalade, yep, you got it. One of the difficult parts when you have, like, a really good memory, and you live with someone who does not have a good memory.
Oh, you get it more than once?
Not only are the stories boring, but you get them multiple times, and you have to make this decision. Do I interrupt say, you've already told me this story, or do you just play along?
I do have a line,
like,
for that.
Like, you haven't heard. You have a way out?
Well, I just have a, like, a fluid way, because look, everyone's got family members that have told them stories. Because they've only got, like, once you get to a certain age,
yep,
lock you. Like, the government comes and they say, those are your stories. And those are the only ones you get. Because the rest of your life, you can't make memories. And this is, you only get these stories of when you were, I'm not even going to get into it because,
right,
I was going to, like, out somebody. But the line, you kind of try to throw in real quick. You try to say, I think you told me about that one time.
If you can remember,
if you can say
detail,
it like that,
but
if,
do they
then
keep...
they sometimes can dip out. It's only a 1 in 5.
Okay.
Will dip out. The rest will finish no matter what. But you can throw in the, yeah, I thought you told me about that.
If you can remember a detail,
yes,
that's deeper into the story, you're like, oh, with the,
oh,
grandpa.
Yeah, he was a Navy SEAL.
But
yeah,
is it socially insulting to that person? Like, do they feel,
Well, that's why you got to be excited about it. That's why you got to say, oh, yeah, with the.
Yes, you
like,
do.
You know what I mean? Yes, because if you're like, is this the one with the Navy SEAL?
Oh, this again?
Like, that's not going to go over as well. You got to be right. Like, oh, yeah, this was a good story that I've, you know, heard.
So you're, yeah. So in essence, you were complimenting us on the previous story.
Exactly right. Now, I have a follow-up question to your situation of good memory, bad memory storyteller. What if they're not telling you the story, but they're telling a story around you, but you know the actual correct way that the event went, and you're hearing all of this stuff that's like,
oh, yeah, do you jump in and correct the storyteller?
This is not right. Do you jump in and help and fix, or do you just swallow your tongue and sit there with your eyes rolling back?
I'll tell you the real story later.
This happens to me all the time.
It has to. It's life. If you've got a great memory and they've got a bad memory, it's got to happen. So what is
it? I feel out the story, and it's like, does this particular detail matter?
That's good. That's a good filter.
To the end of the story. If it does, I will jump in.
Like the main people in the story. If some of them are off, you correct that?
Or it's like, but if it helps with the punchline of like, I'll try and guide the story to the actual truth. If it's not a big deal, I'll just smile and let it go.
That's good. That's good, because not every detail's needed. But exactly. I'm more curious.
That's a very mature way to handle it.
When it's a wrong detail.
Or the whole story's made up.
I've heard wrong details. I've heard multiple stories multiple times, and the details keep changing. And I'm like,
you're like, I remember the original. But you're playing telephone.
You've already told this story.
Oh, I got to tailor my story for my audience. You know, it's like, they wouldn't have liked this part.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. That's funny.
That being said, getting back to the OG question.
Yeah, here. Listening to a boring story, it sucks, but.
Oh, it's the worst.
But it's doable. I mean, we've all practiced.
I would much rather be the storyteller here, and here's why. Because I don't realize that it's boring, right? I know I'm going to bore people. Sorry, but I'm not bored. And then when I
or self aware,
well, but eventually you become self aware, and once you realize that you have told a really boring story, depending on who the storyteller is, it can either erupt into laughter and fun and making fun of the horrible boring story that did not need to be shared, or if you're a listener and the person finishes their story and it's done and it was just like, that was really boring, there's nowhere to go. What do you say to the conclusion of the boring story? You go,
cool.
Oh,
all right,
cool
then.
Story, bro.
Okay, exactly. Yeah, you're just a jerk. So for me, I know that at the end, we're all going to laugh at me and have a good time and be merry and jolly.
Jason explains in 60 seconds.
Well, it's been a while, Jason, and we need your wisdom. So, Al, what are we learning about today?
Let's find out.
Dr. Jason is here.
Oh, boy.
Honorary doctorate from Harvard.
Upgraded?
Yeah. Jason, you have 60 seconds to explain photosynthesis.
Oh, I mean, that's so easy. This is like third grade. Photosynthesis is the process where trees and plants, anything, it's got to be green. That's something that a lot of people don't know. It's got to be green, and they take in your farts and your CO2, all your emissions, and they're going to convert this into oxygen. So they're going to take the plants are going to take this photosynthesis
process.
They breathe in your farts, and they give you clean air to breathe. And in so doing, it's like their digestive system, which is what the scientists call it.
From the plants.
Right. When it comes in from the green part of the plants, which is known as chloroform. the Clorox part of the plant takes in the bad air, puts out the good air. And it lives, and you live, and that is photosynthesis.
So that's the circle of life with the
plant. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So you can actually benefit the plant if you were to produce an emission near it.
That is 100%.
I just want to double check with you, Jason. Yeah. When you have the prefix photo,
right?
What
green? So I already answered that. If you were listening and paying attention to this lesson,
okay, perfect.
The photo of the photosynthesis has nothing to do with like the sun or
okay, I got you.
This is the color That you have you ever taken a photo without color, Mike?
Artistically, yes.
Black's a color. So no, you haven't. It's facto. You don't know anything about science, Mike.
All right. Well, I feel like we've learned, and now we'll help you.
What's the difference between me and you?
Well, I feel like I'm ready to share some scientific knowledge. What is the difference between rotten, rancid, and spoiled?
Okay.
Well, one of them's a brat.
One of them is a band.
Right. That's rancid and now, with terrible.
And one of them's an apple.
That's right. Apple,
which
band,
one
and
is,
brat.
Is the spoiled brat.
So, yeah, you get a spoiled brat.
Okay. So rotten and rancid. Look, spoiled is. I think something can be spoiled without being rotten and rancid. Like, it's the first step towards rotten and rancid. But spoiled could be as simple as, you know, the milk isn't rotten yet, but it's spoiled. Mm-hmm. It's got a little odor.
Very nice. Can a non-liquid be spoiled?
I would think so.
It's a good question you bring up, Mike, yes. Because the way that we use it in the common vernacular
is milk.
Is milk.
It's the most common.
Right.
What else spoils?
I mean, you could say that the yogurt spoiled.
So dairy.
You could.
Okay,
could
so
you say
we've
the
expanded
cheese
a little bit. I don't think cheese can spoil.
Can you say that the apple juice is spoiled?
It's not rotten.
It's not
rancid. You can have rancid apple juice.
Apple juice goes bad?
Yeah, it can.
Yeah, it can.
Whoa.
Normally it just becomes like... filled with alcohol.
Yeah, I was like, I thought that's like apple wine.
It's fermented?
That's what you call it. Oh, cool. We got another can of the rancid apple juice.
Juice box 1987? This is awesome.
He's buying up all the juice boxes on eBay.
Now, I feel like there's a difference here between the smell and the taste, essentially, right? Like, I feel like if you eat something that is spoiled, it is rancid.
Wait, what?
I don't know. I mean, I liked where Mike was going, where like rotten is a hard object. Rancid might be liquid. Is there a liquid?
And spoiled is dairy.
And spoiled is dairy.
So if it's a hard object, it rots.
Like meat rots.
Yeah, meat totally
rots. And obviously fruit rots.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, okay.
But
now
does fruit go rancid?
I actually think to rot, it has to have been alive. It has to have been something that was living, meat, plants, you know, and it rots.
And it rots away.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
But to be fair, like, most of what we eat fits that category, right?
Oh, not most of what I eat, brother. That is heavily processed food that coming out of plastic for me.
So what does it do? Does it spoil?
No, it's not dairy.
What happens when a piece of bread grows mold? Is it any of these?
Well, a piece of bread was never alive, so it can't be rotten.
Well, it was wheat.
I mean, it was alive. I'm just saying, if a piece of bread grows mold, is there another thing that happened? Or is it rotten, rancid, or spoiled? Is that spoiled bread?
I'm going rancid. I'm going rancid bread.
Man, rancid makes me think it's got to be like a real, it's got a bite to it.
Yeah, well, that's why I was going flavor, but maybe it's deeper than
that. Oh, that's rancid.
Well, that sounds more like a smell.
I got to see what my aunt would, how she would exclaim it.
Rancid is...
Oh, this is gone rancid.
Rancid is definitely the furthest step beyond, right? Like, the progression of
really?
How...
Rancid. No, rotten's the worst.
No way.
I think rancid's worse.
Rancid is, you know, this is starting to rot. This is rotten.
It might be rancid
this
someday.
Is rancid.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, 2/3 of doctors agree.
Maybe rancid is a stage of rotten.
What's funny is spoiled is a completed state. I mean, you have been spoiled. It is over for you.
Really?
You are no longer. You can't have a. You can't eat something that's spoiled. It's been spoiled.
There's no redemption for
no.
that.
No,
oh, it is past tense. That is a good point, Andy.
I think we've really encapsulated most of the major
concepts. I didn't learn
concepts.
Anything that time.
What's the difference between a hop, a skip, and a jump?
A hop, a skip, and a jump? This is. I mean, playground children could tell you the difference between a hop, a skip, and a jump.
I think jump is standing out on its own. Is that a two foot thing?
You can jump off of 1 foot.
Right. So then what is it, height?
It's yeah. I mean, is it easy enough to put a rope below you? There's a reason they call it jump rope. So if you can put a rope under the jump.
But you skip rope.
No,
yeah, I mean, there's
don't.
A thing called a.
Once again, I got to do two-legged hops.
There was
over,
a thing called
wait,
a.
Wait, not a hop. If the rope's going under, it's a jump.
I was going to say, there's a thing called a skip it, right?
Well, it's called skipping rope.
Right.
No, it's not. It's called jumping rope.
No, there is a jump rope, but it used to be called.
You don't remember that toy
rope.
Where you'd put it on the right leg
and it had the counter.
Yeah, it was like a skip it.
And it would annihilate you, your shin.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, it would.
If you weren't good.
But
get
I mean,
out
I'm
the
just
way.
Saying you were skipping then.
So
it's called a skip
no,
it.
No, skipping is they just were being too liberal with the term skip. Skip is a movement.
Yeah, skip is a one foot and then you switch the foot and then yes. 1 foot and you switch the foot.
But
But
how is that not really just a bunch of hops in a row?
Because a hop is two feet.
It has to be 2 feet.
Yes, 2 feet.
Always.
And it's a tiny jump.
Oh, yep. Like a rabbit.
Yep. You cannot. You can't leap.
A rabbit can hop and jump.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, for
oh,
sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't always hop. People think rabbits only hop. But sometimes they have to jump. They have to leap.
They cannot skip.
No, they don't skip.
There's no way. Their legs don't work in opposite. They can't go left and then right.
They
then
don't
left
have individual
right.
function.
No. But a hop is 2 feet to 2 feet.
So a skip has to be a cadence.
Yes.
It has to have a cadence
yes.
to it.
A rhythm, a cadence. It's great. And then a jump just has to be able to clear someone else putting a rope under it. If you couldn't put a rope under it, there's no way it's a jump. It's impossible.
I think there's got to be a height. I think a jump, you got to get, you got, I mean, higher than Al Borland can go.
I think I thought of something. A jump can be just vertical.
Sure.
Right?
You don't have to move.
You can just move up and land in the same exact spot.
That's
can
right.
you hop like that? I feel like a hop implies there is some forward movement.
You'd hop okay. so.
Oh, man.
Oh, no, I got it.
No, I like that. I think that's true. I think a jump can be, you could be jumping up for something directly above your head.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be skipping for that.
But you can't hop for something.
Now, like I will say a skip does need to have a certain speed to it. You cannot.
Yes, that's true.
You can't go super slow and call it a skip.
No, then you're walking.
Right.
Also,
go ahead.
There's far more functionality with a jump. You can.
Yeah.
Jump kick. You ever jump kicked?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
you ever been jump kicked?
And we had a clarification from Al Borland. It's a jump rope in American English. It's a skipping rope in British English.
Yeah. Yeah, and so. We have to trust him because of his memory. All right, what's the difference between yoga and stretching? Do you know the answer to this?
Yeah.
Is it one of those like all yoga is stretching but not all stretching is yoga?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
yeah,
true.
That's
all yoga includes stretching. Definitely not all stretching includes yoga. You can stretch and not like break a sweat. You could stretch
correct.
And have a good time.
You oh, yoga stretch, is only
well,
about
no,
misery.
No, you cannot have a good time with stretching. Stretching is
well,
the
I can't.
Stretching is the worst. The worst.
It's because of the time. Every time I've ever
yes.
every time I've ever stretched,
boring.
I've done it wrong because you're supposed to. It's like okay, 30 seconds in this way, and I can get to 3 seconds.
Yeah,
and then I switch to the other leg, and it's like no, you're supposed to spend 30 seconds on that leg.
Well, and part of this is going to be about the music, right? Because you're not putting. There's no such thing as stretching music. That you don't put on some nice, relaxing, meditative,
right.
Calm. Like, there's no atmosphere to stretching. Stretching is what you do.
And there's no cool names for stretching. Like
no.
Downward Facing Dog?
No, you're
yeah.
just.
Warrior 2?
Yeah. These are yoga
go,
terms.
Go, Jason.
These are yoga terms.
Yeah, like.
Give us one of your favorites.
Warrior 1?
Very nice.
Upward
which,
cat.
Which, of course. Of course, Warrior One.
Yeah, it's my
is,
favorite.
Is and you show the people.
Yeah,
exactly,
if you were to
do Warrior One, where
yeah, I mean,
exactly would your arms?
Like if you were watching on YouTube,
my arms would be straight up, mm-hmm. and my front leg would be out, and my rear leg would be back.
All right, that's I think you're kind of right.
Yeah.
I think it's close.
Yeah.
Do you have to be wearing Lululemon for one of these?
Or a knockoff.
Or an oh, well, certainly.
You can have a knockoff.
Which are also provided by the same manufacturer, but they just don't have
we're any. Not all made of money right. buying Lululemon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if your clothes are baggy, then you're probably stretching.
Right.
I think that that's one of those. Now, if you've got a shirt over something that's tight under it, like you can wear that at yoga.
And do yoga.
But if it's just, you know, one layer of loose, oversized clothing, then I don't think you're allowed to do yoga in that.
They don't have stretching pants. They have yoga pants.
Right. And you don't need a mat to stretch.
Oh,
you
it's not
do
required?
Have to have a mat. One of the most important parts of yoga is yoga mat.
You do. Yeah, you have to buy one from them, from the yoga people.
From yoga.com.
Oh, my gosh. Yoga.
That's a good domain.
Do you remember doing P90 and there's yoga day?
Dude, yoga.
And then you'd be like, oh, good. I'm so thankful it's yoga day. And then you'd be like, I want to die today. I want you to kill me because I don't want to do yoga for one more second.
Yes. If for those of you out there who have like just scoffed at yoga and whatever, try it. It is so unbelievably hard and
unacceptable.
It's ridiculous because you'll be sitting doing nothing and just dripping sweat because
we're not meant to pose. That's what I've decided. Yoga taught me that people are not meant to be in certain positions for a long time.
Well, that's where you want to go to Pilates.
Now, what is Pilates?
Pilates is like yoga with movement. So you get in a pose, and then when you're there, you're testing your body. And
really?
Yeah.
So you get into Warrior One,
and then
you shake it up?
And then you're like, now move your arms up and down. And
really?
It's the worst.
That's Pilates?
It is the hardest thing.
I thought it was a bunch of leg kicks.
Well, sure. I mean, it depends on the pose. Is it your arms? Is it your legs? Your booty? What are you shaking?
It's a lot of shaking.
Which one was Zumba then?
That's dancing.
Yeah.
Zumba's only dancing?
Only shaking. If you're, there's not 1 second of a pose in Zumba. But I will say this genuinely, like I long ago was an athlete, right?
You were.
I played basketball. I was in great shape. I ran long distances, yada, yada, yada. I've never done anything as hard in my life as a Pilates class. It was
interesting.
It's this combination of it's so physically demanding and you feel so stupid.
Coordination issues.
Because I'm doing barely anything. I don't have any big weights that look cool.
Yeah.
I'm just like squat down a little bit. Maybe lift that leg up. Now move it just a little bit. I can't do it.
Come to think of it, the most embarrassing time when we used to work out together was not the workouts.
Mm-mm.
It was the warm-ups. Where we had to do things that involved coordination while other people watched us.
Any kind of coordination with stretching and...
jump rope was a problem, too.
Skip rope.
Not in my country, Mike!
Not in my country!
This is America!
All right, let's draft.
The Spitballers Draft.
All right. Well, this kind of fit in with what we talked about today because we talked about going to the future. Now, we thought it was 80 years. It turned out to be 180 years into the future. We talked about going to, I guess, 1180 years into the future. But this question comes down to inventions, home inventions. And what are the best home inventions over the last 30 years? We're going to kind of... You know, we don't need electricity climbing into this one. We don't need some
plumbing.
Which
is a great invention.
Right,
sure.
Right. But the last 30 years, what do you think has been the most valuable home inventions that now impact our modern life? And Mike, you get the first pick, so you have a lot to choose from.
This stinks.
I don't know if we're going to be even in the same stratosphere of picks on this one.
Well, there's a clear 101.
Is there?
Yeah.
Well, I think I'm taking a version of it.
Okay.
And I will say, I will preface, I don't think that my pick stops from other shoot-offs from this. I think that's perfectly acceptable, but I want to specify broadband internet.
Yeah, high-speed internet is what I had. Absolutely.
Because once you got the internet and you had the AOL and you were on the 56K, or if you were like my household where our telephone lines couldn't even handle the 56K. I don't know.
28.8.
Yeah, 36.
It was
33.6.
It was abysmal, and yet it was awesome. And then someone showed you for the first time high-speed internet, and you're like,
it feels like you're breaking the law.
Wait a minute. This web page loads faster than 5 minutes?
Tell me about this DSL.
Like, it instantly
it wasn't even on my
loads?
List.
Broadband?
So here's what's funny.
Because I put a wireless router on my list.
Well, don't give your picks away, man.
Well, that would be
wireless.
Different.
No. What's funny is I didn't have it on my list either. I made my entire list, and then afterwards I was thinking, all of my things need high-speed internet. Oh, wait a minute. That's the clear 101. So, Mike, I was really hoping that you did not have that on your list as the second person up here, but unfortunately, you are a bright man.
That did change things more than anything else because it allowed everything.
It's a utility.
Yeah.
Like plumbing. I mean, it's try living in your house without high-speed internet.
Okay,
now.
Jason, you are up.
That's called camping, Mike. I mean, genuinely, if I was at home and there was no internet, no 5G on my phone, if there was no internet, I would call that camping.
I guess it's fine, but I was thinking it had to be a physical object that you had.
Oh, it's
if it's an invention for the home, I thought it had to be a physical object.
Okay,
in your house.
High-speed modem.
There you go. Perfect.
Anyways, go on.
All right. So for me, the rest
I'm
of
out.
My, the rest of my list is like all the tier of it doesn't matter. These are all just good, cool things.
Well, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah. Well, one of them is just so incredibly important.
Yeah, I know what you're going to go with.
Well, I was saying high-speed internet. I'm going to say the invent of the big screen TV.
Yep.
You know, it's
flat
it's,
screen.
It's iterated over time. But you know, we used to have
he selected 90s big screen. He did not select flat screen.
The big chunk.
He selected the one with the big back angled.
Oh, the big
the triangle.
Back. I remember buying one of those that was 72 inches was the TV, which was monstrous at the time. And because of that, the whole TV and the stand and everything, I mean, it was a room in unto itself. But, you know, really, the TV is, over the last 30 years, become, you know, the one of the gathering spots in the home. You're going to get together, watch sports, watch the latest soap operas, and you want
screen. What's your favorite soap opera?
Oh, Days of Your Lives? Days of Somebody's Lives?
Okay. All right. So you picked flat screen TVs. It was on the list. I've been informed through the grapevine that this is still an acceptable pick. So I will go with Wi-Fi.
Yes.
I will go with wireless.
To me, that's very different than broadband.
Wireless technology in the home changed everything. We grew up, even with like your telephone, with the 60-foot cord. Elastic cord that you'd walk and like you'd be wrapped up in it or it'd be going all through the house. So I think, go ahead.
I had I remember. My first encounter with Wi-Fi, because I already had, you know, the cable modem. It was high speed. And then I was trying to hook up a PC to my gigantic television that took up half of my room. And someone was telling me, well, you can get a piece of machinery and just put a little chip essentially in that computer and it has the internet. And you're like, no way. That is malarkey. It's got to be so slow. And you're like, no, it's actually very, very fast. You know, most of the speed of your direct into the mode. I'm like, this is impossible. And then you got it going. And it was modern
good.
Magic. Yeah. I could not believe there's no wires in this thing and it is still getting the internet at a high speed.
All right. For the second one, I didn't want to go into the category of like a home invention. Netflix is not a home invention. Right. That's a technological you know, Silicon Valley invention. So for me, the invention that I think revolutionized things that still, I mean, it's still the reality of what we have today is the DVR.
Yeah, sure.
So
sure,
it
sure,
started
sure.
with TiVo and Replay TV, but the idea, even now, all the major providers, you've got the ability to, I mean, I grew up and if you wanted to watch something that was on, you had to put in a VCR tape and then go to the blue screen and program it for 15 minutes. And maybe you didn't cut it all off, which you probably did, or you recorded over something.
Oh, man.
DVR changed it so that I didn't have to be around at a certain time. You got to watch TV when you wanted to watch it.
And skip commercials.
Did you? Did your parents, were they VCR people?
They still are.
They
still have a VCR right front and center.
But I'm
hooked
saying.
Hooked up?
Yes.
Hooked up to
100%.
Is it still used for recording, though?
I do not believe so.
Okay.
No.
But like, I
How
have.
Do you even hook that up to a modern TV?
Very difficult.
Yeah, finding one that has RCA cables or adapters. But I have, you know, also the memories of watching my dad go mano-a-mano
with
the VCR. It's got the blue screen.
That's it.
And the giant font, and he's trying to
program
set up
it
and make sure that it's going to tape at the right time. And then you got to remember the cable has to be on the right channel.
Yep.
Or you come back to the tape and you're like, who changed the channel? Ah!
It's so funny. But yeah, DVR, I think, is my second pick.
I love it.
All right. My next pick is something that, man, I don't ever want to go backwards from. Because there's a lot of smart devices, and I'm sure that we're, you know, that they're going to be on our list. But for me, almost everything is controlled in my home from room to room. It's an intercom system. It's a lighting system. It's a music system. It's everything. And that's the Alexa devices.
Okay.
That's the one I sure. use, or whatever. Maybe we generically call it the...
Just your whatever, smart your, speaker or
yeah,
whatever.
But those things, I mean, they control... I've got every room. Every room has.
I had home automation on my list.
Yeah, so I mean that has changed my house. I don't ever want to go backwards. You think I want to walk to my kids' room when I can just say Alexa, announce, and then it just
bong bong.
Wake up, everybody! Get up out of bed.
Love it, love it.
Yeah, had it on the list. I am a little surprised this one made it back. But you know, you have a bunch of devices that can use the internet. How about the one we're looking at right now, fellas? I will take a laptop computer.
Is that a home?
What?
Is that?
I took it off my list on purpose.
Really?
I didn't think it was a home invention at all.
Yeah, because that's literally something you're supposed to be able to
take
leave
away.
Your home
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
But no, it's a computer that you can move around.
This is why I said I wasn't sure we'd be in the same category, because it's not really.
What? Well, we'll just need a ruling from the judge, because I'll allow
judge.
Whatever he says.
I would not consider it a home device.
So it's a device for what?
I mean, it's a device.
It's a portable.
When it was originally made for like companies and corporations before it came home. It wasn't originally invented for the home.
Oh, okay. Well, I stand corrected. I will remove it then. All right, I'm going to go with a device that is still in its infancy.
Okay.
And ooh. I don't think that it ends. Maybe you're not going to call this a home device, but it's in our home. And I think
a car.
That, it's in a garage, dude. No, it and I this over time
I'm so afraid.
I think that this device is going to end up changing the world.
I so hope it's not. It's gone.
Okay, I'm going
excited.
With a 3D printer.
Oh no,
oh,
no that's on my
yeah.
list.
Yeah,
that's on my list, and it's a great pick.
Yeah. And like if you have not encountered a 3D printer of
I'm actually mad you took it this you took that pick. I thought it would be a sneaky fourth rounder.
And like where the technology of 3D printing once you see it and then you let your brain actually start thinking about what is possible with this and you're like, holy crap, this will change the world eventually once the technology is scaled up.
Okay, that's a great pick.
All right, and then I'm going from that one, which to something that will change the world to something that it doesn't really change the world very much, but it makes things way more delicious. I'm taking an air fryer, man.
Oh, it's on my list. Absolutely.
Do I need an air fryer?
Yes,
oh,
you need.
Oh, it's so good.
Why are they so great?
Because,
do you have one, Al?
Oh, yeah.
Because,
I made dinner on it 2 nights ago.
Because you
what
can...
What does it do?
You can do a ton... I mean...
I don't get it.
I believe people say like it's basically like a souped up or whatever the...
Convection
oven. Not a crock pot.
No. It's not a crock pot. But it does everything a microwave can do. Not as fast as a microwave, but way, way more delicious. It can do a lot of the things that your regular oven can do, but faster.
Mm-hmm. So you don't just use it to make fries.
No. But
if you wanted delicious, crispy fries, there you couldn't do...
Which was impossible to do at home. Because
can't do
of,
it in a microwave, can't do that in an oven.
No, oven, soggy fries.
No, the air fryer is like... It's everything Mike just described, but imagine being able to fry things at home. Like you've got a deep fryer.
But without oil.
Except yes. It's not unhealthy.
Is there oil in it?
No, nope. No. It's just air. It's an air that's super well named.
But how do you
you would coat if you were making homemade fries and that, you would coat them.
I was
gonna
say what crisps what crisps on it
oil.
Yeah, without oil. Okay.
Yes, you put oil on the food
but not in a bucket.
Yes, and you don't have to deal with the dangerous hot oil and grease. Like, where do I get rid of this afterwards?
Yeah, you could put some wings in there. It's a great.
Yes.
Well, yeah. And you could use a healthy oil, like an olive oil,
sure,
instead of the garbage.
That's a good pick.
So, I mean, it's garbage. Good to if this makes the list of best home inventions in the last 30 years, and I don't have one, that's a travesty.
I was thinking through, like, what do I have in my house that I want that's newer, and I really don't want to live without anymore.
Right.
And if you're going to go shopping for one, Andy, get the one with the rotisserie.
But hook me up. I know you'll tell me which one to get and buy it for me. Core of this draft is what home conveniences exist that you literally would not want anymore.
And the one that I will take next was the first one that came to mind, even though it's not the most world-changing, the most fun. It's certainly not fun, but it's like, oh my gosh, I can't go backwards. They took this long-term, very necessary home device of a vacuum, and then they said, you know what? We can go cordless.
Oh. Yeah.
A cordless, like, Dyson vacuum.
Yeah, right on my list, for sure.
I mean, it's well, you want to be carrying around this plug, and then plug in, and you can only go so far. And it's like,
there was a small period where the innovation of cordless vacuums did not match the performance of cordless vacuums, where you got it and you thought you were awesome, and it lasted like 20 minutes, and then you couldn't vacuum the rest of your house without charging for another hour, but they've blown past it.
Yeah, now it's like they're better vacuums that are so easy to clean. Like, you remember bags in vacuums? You unzip it.
Yep.
Just awful. So, yeah, cordless battery-powered vacuums.
All right. Well, I will go with another technological home invention that I think has been very valuable. In fact, I don't know if people can live without them anymore. A video doorbell.
Mm. Oh, that's a good pick.
The video doorbells, they're everywhere. Once you have one, you know who's there. It's a level of security. It's just, you know, great. So
on my list.
And then for my last pick, only to hurt you.
Oh, no. No, it was going to be my last one, but I know what you're going with.
It's a bidet.
Yeah, baby. The best invention of all time.
That thing's been around forever.
Oh, you think it's before?
Bidets have been around for hundreds of years, but the electric
powered
bidet.
One?
That's what I mean, an electric bidet.
I mean, you can check on that, but just so everyone is aware, the bidet appears to have been an invention of French furniture makers in the late 17th century.
I'm willing to pivot if you'd like me to pivot.
No, I have no idea if the new ones, where they're all heated and
I will say this,
super fancy.
Gourmet bidet.
A vacuum was invented before the last 30 years. What Dyson did is they took that and they said, that was so stupid.
Put a battery in there.
And so, like, Toto, or whoever you like, has taken the long-term 1700 toilet seat bidet and said,
electric bidet it is.
You want your seat warmed? You want your water warmed? You want to be air dried?
I'm good with it. It's good.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, all right.
It was definitely on my list.
So that's my final pick. I have Wi-Fi, a DVR, a video doorbell, and an electric
bidet. Am I on my last pick?
You are. You have a flat screen TV, an Alexa, or, you know, something in that vein, and then a cordless vacuum, and one final pick.
That stinks. I got so many things here I like.
Well, I can't wait to hear about them.
All right, I am going to go. I'm gonna go with this one because it's kind of like what Mike was saying. It's newer. It's in its infancy.
Oh, please don't take my last pick because I have no more.
Well, I doubt it. This is not a sponsor, but I have to say the brand because it's literally the only one that exists that I know of. And Mike, I know you have this as well, but a spin coffee machine.
Oh,
so a lot of people would say the Keurig. The Keurig has changed.
Can I change your pick for you so it's a better pick?
Perhaps
gourmet coffee machines. Just broaden it out, because for some people it's you're narrowing it down to something that nobody can relate to. Like 0.001%. Where K-cup makers are this for people. Gourmet espresso machines, they are this for people. It was on my list, but it was going to be broader.
Yeah, but. Okay. I'm going to stick with it because the difference is what I actually like, which is that it grounds the beans up one cup at a time, and that I don't have to pre-grind beans.
Is there other machines that do that?
Of course there's other machines that do that.
Oh, well.
Like 50,
thanks for sharing those with us.
50 of them grind. This is not a novel thing, what you have with the spin. You just
it's
think
not?
You do. Some of it is. The spinning is okay. novel. But grinding per cup is not novel.
All right. I will go with...
I was just trying to help you. I will you go can with stay
the
with your,
gourmet
No, don't. Do the version machine. Number. Do the version number that you like.
But I've had coffee, you know, just because I need it from time to time. Mostly Keurig.
Is this sponsored?
The last forever. And I didn't know that coffee could be good. Like, could be great until I actually having a gourmet coffee machine where it was like, oh my gosh, this isn't coffee flavored water. This is coffee.
You love it so much because you went from K-cup swamp water
exactly
to a spin coffee maker. If you had gone from K-cup to a nice drip system, you would have had the same revelation.
Sure.
All right, Mike, you are up.
All right, excellent, because I have one more good pick.
Yeah.
Also a technology in its infancy, that is
teleportation.
No, it's still that's
power lines
that hasn't gone off of the ground floor yet. But this will also change the world. And in 40, we talked about the future.
This is VR.
We might just be living
this
there.
Is VR. Oh.
And I will be taking virtual
it's
reality.
A great pick. I don't know why you won this one.
Yeah. I will trade you a spin coffee machine for the VR headset.
And I give the same instructions about VR that we were talking about. Of like, if you haven't tried a VR headset, you don't realize how realistic it actually is. When you're watching the videos of the people making fools of themselves because they have a headset on and then you see them jump into a wall, like, there's that, you can't possibly do that. It's fake. No, it is not.
Genuinely, I regret how little I use my VR because every time I do it, it's so enjoyable. It's so realistic. It's so fun. I love that your picks, your last three, was a sandwich of the incredible futuristic technology of a 3D printer, all the things it can unlock.
Yes.
Then an air fryer. And then all the virtual reality. I mean, it's the perfect example of what we're talking about with home inventions.
And like for VR, I remember, Andy, you have told us this story of you got super into a ping pong game.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best.
I know exactly what you're saying. I've done it too.
And Andy went, so you're holding the handles to play the game. And Andy went to put his handles onto his virtual table that was not actually there. And then
I tried to rest on the table that didn't exist. Yeah,
because once you're playing and you're lost in it and you're playing ping pong and then the ball's hard to reach, that's what you would do in real life. You'd reach your left hand on the table and reach further and you just eat it because there ain't no table.
Yes. So that's a great pick. VR is awesome. There were a couple other ones that I had to Google like when they were invented. And I was way off. Like, I was thinking things like, I didn't know how long, like, home jacuzzis were around or like, garage door openers. That's going way, way back.
I have, like, the Nest cameras or home smart cameras and smart thermostats. That's a big one. Being able to, like, not be home and be able to control, like, pre-cool.
All that connected devices stuff.
Smart lights.
Oh, that's such a good thing.
Yeah, I had thought of the Hue bulbs and things like that, but I don't use those a ton.
Is it because it's so annoying to set up?
The toothbrush.
That's part of it.
The toothbrush
feel
that
so,
flosses at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Floss and brush same time. It's
so
easy.
I feel so old.
Setting those up.
When there's cool technology that I don't want to set up now, because that is exactly what the VCR was for our parents. It was like, you do it, son.
It's real
and now
tedious.
I'm like, Caleb, you set up the Wi-Fi lighting. And he does it better than me. So, any other glaring omissions, producers?
I think you did pretty good.
Nice.
All righty. That'll do it for today's episode. Oh, no, wait. Hold on.
No, we got it.
What did we learn today?
And this one, I'll give you guys a second to think on your own, but mine was super easy, which is what an air fryer does.
Yeah, and I learned that the year 2200
Dang it, that was going to be what I is not actually
not
80 years.
80 years from now at all.
Well, Jason and I learned the same thing today.
All right. I
also learned
it.
That rotten has to have lived.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we discovered that.
I still think most of your food lived. I hope you're not eating plastics on a regular basis, but that'll do it for today's Spitballers.
Or at all.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Spitballers podcast. To see what other nonsense the guys are up to, check out spitballerspod.com.